This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with...
Arvinia Brudge.
And Christine Wong.
Oh, you're back off.
Mm-hmm, I am.
What happened to you yesterday?
I was somewhere.
Mm-hmm. You left me and Chris here in the studio by ourselves. You know, we missed you yesterday.
Abandoned for a bit.
Yeah.
Actually, it was quite nice, wasn't it, Chris?
Oh, a little bit.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
Anyway, if you'd like to get in touch with the show today, you know how to do it. 018-789-8899. If you want to send us a WhatsApp, Twitter or Instagram, we're at BFM Radio as well. A few topics on the agenda today. We'll be speaking about, let's start off with, what are you talking about?
So I'm going to be talking about how SMEs might cut jobs and overheads during this lockdown.
Then we'll be discussing what's in Permacasa Plus for SMEs.
And then we'll be wrapping up with the meaty letter rush from last night. All kinds of stuff happening yesterday. Busy day for most people yesterday. Mm-hmm. And of course, a busy day this morning as well. Our first day of lockdown. Is it 3.0 now?
It is.
3.1?
3.1.
I've been calling it the FMCO.
FMCO, yeah.
Final. You know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Let's hope so. Third time's a charm, so they say. What was the traffic like on the roads for you guys getting here
this
morning?
There was no traffic.
There was no traffic.
It was so glorious.
Yeah. Smooth sailing all the way here from my place as well. Didn't see a single roadblock. But I think Keith was saying earlier that he's been keeping track of the roadblocks, and they seem to be on the highways mainly, like you mentioned earlier on, Chris, when it's going, you know, interstate and stuff. So there we go. We've got a whole bunch of stuff to get through, so let's get started.
Yeah, so this comes from the Malaysian Insight. According to SME Association Malaysia President Michael Kang, 4 in 10 SMEs will suffer financial difficulties as a result of the lockdown and plan to cut jobs in order to reduce expenses. So some of the companies are also preparing to suspend business for half a year to reduce the expenses.
Wow.
The government recently advised companies to speak to banks about potential loan deferments and moratoriums. But Kang said, and he disagreed, and he said that from past experience, we know that these discussions are ineffective. If it weren't for the government, most banks would not give any loan moratorium, adding that he estimates 40% of the SMEs would not stay afloat for more than 3 months without any government assistance. Then there's also Malaysian Chinese Tourism Association President Albert Tan Samsun from MCTA, who said that in the past year, many employees of travel agencies have stopped work. And with the wage subsidy program coming to a close, Tan said that he's worried that there will be another round of retrenchments. Mm. And on March 17, a couple of months ago, when Prime Minister Muhyiddin Yassin announced the strategic plan for strengthening the people and the economy of Permacasa, he pointed out that according to the 2021 budget, the tourism and retail industries will receive subsidies under the salary subsidy plan until June. And after the latest announcement, it will be extended to September. However, Tan also pointed out that the tourism industry will need another year before it can recover, and that's what it's looking like at the moment. He suggests that extending this plan until things improve, and the amount should also be increased from 600 ringgit to about 800 ringgit and maybe even 1,000 ringgit. And then obviously we can say the same thing about the F&B industry, who are facing similar struggles or struggles that are specific to their own sector and their space. I wanted to ask you guys, like, do you have any ideas, like, in our own small way, as individuals and as people, like consumers, customers and stuff, how can we support not just local companies, but like the SME scene, small businesses, local businesses? Because it looks like, you know, this is like, you know, they're going through this like wave after wave after wave. And after a while, they're going to run out of fuel, right? Mm-hmm. At some point, they're going to run out of fuel.
Yeah, I saw a tweet earlier that a local business owner said, you know, you can never prepare for 15 months of a rainy day fund, you know?
Yeah.
And that's exactly what's been happening over the past, you know, year plus, right? I mean, for my part, when I like get food or whatever, I try my best to find the smaller companies or order directly from the website if I can, you know. I mean, we talked about that as well, I think a couple of weeks ago about how if you order directly from them, then they don't have to pay so much of a commission to all the delivery partners that they are partnered with. So that's like this one small way that I've been trying to figure out. I also know that there are some local food banks that are opening that you can donate to, and some extra other, like, I think, community organized funds for people as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, just to echo what Chris is saying, you know, if you are able to order from somebody nearby, you know, do that instead of an order from them directly. And if, mainly for F&B stuff, I think it is, you know, if friends are sharing with you something that they've ordered that is particularly good, you know, or needs highlighting, you know, share it a little bit and tell people how good it is and how they can get hold of this food. I mean, I think part of the kind of bright side of this pandemic is that we've seen lots of people really take to making their own stuff, whether it be cakes or bread or even opening up their small business. And there has been some fantastic food that I have tasted. I know you guys have certainly tasted over the past few months as well. Just tell people about it and share it and help these people out however we can. I mean, you know, last year when we did the whole Voice of SMEs as well, and how we spoke to all of these people going through all of these struggles and how they're dealing with it. And a lot of that is not really changed from last year. But like Chris has said, you can't plan for this long, you know, and you are going to run out of money at some point. There's no denying that. Unless you have a steady stream of income. And right now, a lot of people do not have a steady stream of income.
Never underestimate the power of social media. I would say, like, if you bought something and you enjoy like a certain kind of food or like a product, if you have Instagram or something, just share it. You never know who's looking, and if that person shares it as well, you never know how, you know, how far that one share could go.
Yeah, specifically share, and also make sure to tag if the other you know, obviously if the business has, you know, anything like that. Because I've seen a lot of people who will post about something and they'll be like, oh, I ordered from so-and-so. And then I'll be like, but where's the clicky thing? I want to click it. And there's no clicky thing, you know?
Make it easy for people.
Make it easy for people.
That's the big deal. If you're having to, if people are having to jump through hoops to get your product, that's already a turn off, you know? Okay. Just some thoughts. We've got some other stuff coming back in a minute. We'll be speaking with Vernon Chua. He's the CEO of Energy Labs, of course. We're going to be asking him about some of his opinions when we get back. He's on the phone with us. We'll take a short break with some music from Aerosmith with Falling in Love. Don't go anywhere, but if you've got your thoughts on this, how can we, what can we do to help SMEs and local businesses, drop us a line. Get us via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Twitter or Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. We'll be right back.
Business, finance, and more. BFM 89.9.
Hey folks, this is Enterprise Biz Bytes. It's Tuesday, the 1st of June, 12:17, coming up to 12:18 here in the studio. I'm Rich Bradbury, in the studio with
Christine Wong.
Arvinda Braj.
We're talking about, we've just mentioned how some SMEs had to cut jobs and overheads in the lockdown. We'll be hearing from
From Vernon Chua, CEO of Energia Labs, who we have on the line right now. So, Vernon, we want to just ask you, like, we're back in another major lockdown. How do you think this one will impact SMEs nationwide? And will it be any different from the ones we've had before?
Many SMEs would have exhausted their reserves by now. So this lockdown will have a far harsher impact on them than the previous lockdowns. If we take, for example, the F&B sector, we know that in March 2020, when the first MCO was called, their revenues plunged by 85%. And, you know, over the course of the last 1 year, they've been through intermittent lockdowns, and they've barely had any opportunity to claw back their losses. It's the same thing for non-essential retailers. They've also been hit very badly. They've now been through one Chinese New Year and two Raya festive seasons with poor sales. We've got to remember that these festive seasons can sometimes contribute to up to half of their annual sales turnover. And in this last 1 year, they've not been able to even get that back. So it's going to be challenging times ahead for them. And the longer the lockdown drags, the harder it will be for them to survive.
Vernon, some businesses they're already planning to cut jobs to save costs. What do you think are some of the other ways they can do to preserve cash flow that aren't as drastic, if there are any?
I know quite a few retail and F&B groups that have decided to temporarily close most of their outlets for the duration of this MCO, even before this new phase of the lockdown was called. From their past experience, as they tell me, the sales generated during those previous lockdowns do not warrant their staying open. So, of course, they've had to furlough their staff. Furlough meaning, you know, to temporarily release their staff from work for the duration of this lockdown. Other businesses I know are getting their staff to work in fortnightly shifts, 1 week on and 1 week off. You know, they do that so that everyone can still try and earn a living. There is one big way to preserve cash flow, and that is to negotiate your rental terms with your landlord. In the retail and F&B space, rental is always one of the single line item expense for them, right? And by now, they would have achieved some sort of accommodation in terms of rental discounts between the businesses and the landlords. But another possibility is to negotiate a lower rental fee over, say, the next 3 months, with the promise that, you know, you will pay back the balance to the landlord over the following 6 months once the economy opens up again. And in this way, you are able to preserve your cash for now. And once the economy opens up, you will then hopefully have the cash flow to pay that higher rental to your landlord. Another way is to sell discounted vouchers so that your customers, they can redeem it now or later. And this will really help to inject immediate cash flow into your business. And of course, finally, opt in for the loan moratorium. These are just some of the ways you can preserve cash without the drastic measure of, letting all your staff go.
Right. So, Vernon, what are some insights or analytics that retailers can rely on to plan and prep their finances for the coming months? I mean, is it even possible to plan?
You know, the last quarter of 2020 really threw up a lot of interesting data as the economy slowly opened up from the lockdown last year. We definitely saw revenge spend happening, and there were businesses that saw record-breaking sales because of that. There is certainly enough data in those months for retailers and F&B operators to know what categories and menu items are working for them. They really need this information to plan their lockdown and post-lockdown promotion campaigns to bring back their customers quickly. They also really need to use this data to manage their inventory better and to help them understand which of their stocks cannot move, because they really have to find a way to let go of these items, you know, perhaps selling them at extreme discounts just so that they can recover some cash and keep the lights on. But definitely, I would encourage every SME right now, go back to your Q4 data, take a look at it, and see what went right and what went wrong for you, because that's going to help you map your path forward.
Mm-hmm. Vernon, do you think it would have been better for business if this full lockdown was implemented a few months ago?
I think this is a tough question to answer. And, you know, I have to acknowledge that there are no good options for the government. Basically, they have to do a balancing act between lives and livelihood. But I also want to be clear that even if we had a lockdown a few months back, there is no guarantee that there wouldn't be a lockdown today. And a lockdown now is no guarantee that there won't be another lockdown later down the road. I mean, let's take Taiwan for instance. You know, for most of last year, it was touted as one of the best examples of how to tackle COVID. But now it's had to close their schools, ban dine-ins, and ban social gatherings because there's been a surge of cases over there. Melbourne in Australia has just gone in for their fourth lockdown. And Singapore is also tightening restrictions as they see their own numbers going up again. We have to remember that lockdowns are merely temporary measures to prevent our medical infrastructure from being overwhelmed. Vaccinations are the key to returning our lives to normalcy and to restoring our economy. The government must have as its main priority a roadmap to ensuring we achieve herd immunity.
Okay, Vernon, let's have a look at something else then. You know, with technologies like AI and machine learning, they're kind of able to predict certain outcomes. Do you think it's time that the retail sector starts to look at these tools to help safeguard and future-proof themselves, perhaps?
Actually, since the pandemic, we have seen a willingness by SME retailers and F&B operators to adopt digitalization initiatives to improve their businesses. I believe they are beginning to understand how vital these tools are in helping them exercise better controls and decision-making in their organizations. It has definitely helped our clients become more nimble and quick in making operational or even promotional calls. The government via MDEC have been encouraging SMEs to adopt these digitalization initiatives, you know, by way of providing grants. And we've seen the take-up rate of these grants accelerate right up to the point of, you know, this new lockdown. So if you're an SME, I highly encourage you to take advantage of these grants and see for yourself how much improvement it brings to your business.
Right. And final question for you, Vernon. How long do you think this full lockdown will last? And do you think most SMEs will be able to survive that long?
If last year was anything to go by, many people are expecting this lockdown to go all the way to July. But look, I don't think 60% of our SMEs are going to close because of that. I firmly believe that most of our SMEs will survive. But that's not because they have, you know, lots of cash reserves, but because I believe in the resilience of our entrepreneurs. I know they will find a way to weather this storm. They may have to cut back, they may have to beg, they may have to borrow, but I'm sure they will survive to fight another day. But that being said, there's going to be quite a few who will, you know, just really no longer have the resources to carry on, and they will have to close their businesses and cut their losses. And the fact of the matter is this: the slower our return to normalcy, the more people will start falling into that latter category. And if even 5% of our SMEs were to close down with its accompanying job losses, it's going to take quite a heavy toll on our economy, and it was going to hold back our recovery. So once again, the government needs to map out for us a path back to normalcy as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm. That was Vernon Chua, CEO of Energia Labs. I like what Vernon said about the resiliency of the SME scene, because if you think about the stuff that they've been through just over the last year, within the last year alone, it's insane. Sometimes it's just to see them like pushing back every time they have a small opening to do business properly again.
Yeah.
It is very, very resilient. But also they need all the help that they can get.
And, and that word that we used an awful lot of last year, pivot, is something I'm sure we'll be hearing from throughout this next lockdown as well, how some businesses have changed what they do to adopt to these new and trying times. Okay, let's take a short break. When we come back, of course, we'll have an update from Bursa at Break, courtesy of Arvin, and then we'll be talking about what's in the Permacasa Plus for SMEs. We're going to take a short break here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.